Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. I'm Doug Fain. On today's program, we're going to be reminiscing about an old grocery store. There were many on Main Street years ago, and this one a lot of people remember, a lot of people dealt with too. It was run by two brothers, and it was called Heathman's Grocery. We're going to talk to Egder Heathman's two daughters today on All Things Jessamine. We'll do that right after this word.
Citizens National Bank, Nicholasville's newest bank, is now open and conveniently located in the Keene Center. Citizens National Bank is a locally owned, community-oriented bank with several locations across South Central Kentucky. Stop by and visit Nicholasville Area President Cy Hutcherson and his wonderful staff. Citizens National Bank offers a wide array of deposit and loan accounts, as well as a host of convenient features such as mobile and internet banking. Citizens National Bank, moving forward together. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good morning and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Glad to have you on this Saturday morning as we continue to learn more about people and places and things of Jessamine County. Well, today we are going to discuss a place here in town that was one of many grocery stores in our community. In fact, it has often amazed me how we had as many as we did, and they all survived. Of course, you got to remember that at one time there was no I-75. 27 ran through downtown Nicholasville, and if you wanted to go south, you had to come through here. So there was a lot more traffic, believe it or not, than there probably is now. But anyway, down on Main Street, where the current Town Square Bank sits, was a grocery store, and it was called Heathman's Grocery, and it was run at the time it closed by two brothers, and we're going to talk about them today. With me today is the daughters of William Egder Heathman, and that's Billy Sue and Mary Dalton, and we're going to talk about, even though Mary Dalton says she's not going to talk, we might at least get her to say hi at some point. But we want to talk about Heathman's Grocery, and I think at the time it was probably one of the oldest family-run businesses we had. So good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Doug.
I am glad to do this show and talk about Heathman's Grocery. A lot of people have asked me, have you done Heathman's? And I'm glad to do that. Now, I remember Heathman's, and of course it goes way back before me, but the best memories I have of Heathman's is two things. One is when you walked into Heathman's, that, I don't know how to describe it other than that salt-cured meat smell, you know, that old country stores had. And the other thing I can remember, and we'll talk about this a little later, was one of the guys that worked for your dad, Jack, that sang while he worked. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Let's start with your dad, William Egder. And he had a brother that I knew as Poss. Now, what was his real name?
Robert Earl.
Okay. And his name was Pop, I guess P-O-S-S or P-O-S is what people, where did that come from? Do we know? But can we tell?
We can tell.
Okay.
When Poss and Daddy were little boys,
yeah,
they were like a year and a half apart, if that much. And Poss didn't talk plain. Well, Daddy had a pair of shoes that were too big for him.
Yeah.
And when he walked, they would clomp. You know how a pair of shoes will do. And yeah, Poss would call him Shoes. Well, when they went to school, apparently they were pretty bad little boys.
Yeah.
And everybody started calling him Sue, because when Poss said Shoes, he slurred it, and it sounded like Sue's. Well, everybody called him Sue, which made Daddy really mad, because that was like being a sissy, okay?
Right.
So he came home and he said to my grandmother, "What can I do to get even with Robert Earl for calling me Sue?" And Daddy said, my grandmother said, "You call him the meanest thing you can think of." And the meanest thing Daddy could think of was Possum. So that was Possum.
And I knew him as that all my life.
That was Poss and Sue Heathman. They went to their graves as Poss and Sue Heathman.
And his name was Robert Earl. Well, now they had a daughter named Sue Earl, didn't
right,
they?
Right, right.
And that's where all that come from.
Right.
So her name even came from him not being able to say it, I guess. Wow, okay.
And well, that's where my name right came from.
Yeah, right. Billy Sue. Yeah, okay. It all is clicking now. All right. Well, let's go back and talk about now. Let's talk about their parents. Let's talk about how those two guys came into this world. Who was your grandparents? And were they the ones that actually started the store?
Right.
Okay. Let's go back to their parents then.
Robert F. and Edna Earl Heathman.
Yeah.
Edna Earl Green Heathman.
Now, when
they were from Grant County.
How did they get here? Do we know that?
I do not know how they got to Nicholasville.
But somehow they ended up here. And were they always in the grocery business?
Yes.
So they came here. Do you know, was the grocery that they opened the same one that down here on the corner of Main and was that
Chestnut
Street? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So they come, and when would that have been that they opened Heathman's Grocery?
1919.
Wow. During World War One.
Right.
Yeah. Back then, I guess you probably still had a lot of old grocery stores around, but did they pretty much run the store consistent throughout all those years? Because you told me that they closed it in 83. So 84 years? Is that right? My math?
Well, 1919.
No.
Try 64.
64. I'll get there. Eventually, I'll get there. 60-something years. If you walked into the, and we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, but if you walked into the store the day they closed in 82, whatever.
Three.
Do you feel like you would have walked in the store like it would have been in 1919, to a point in 1919?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. I remember when they did some remodeling on the inside, but still it was pretty much the same.
The same way.
Yes.
So your grandparents opened this store, they run it, and at some point in time decide to have a family. And was it just the two boys?
And then they had a sister, Nelda.
Okay.
And she died in 1976.
Was she here?
Yes.
See,
she wasn't here when she died.
No, I mean, did she live here? I don't remember
her.
Yes,
she lived here. Well, after she went to college and graduated.
Yeah.
She lived most of her adult life in Louisville.
Okay. That's the reason. But so the boys, they grew up in this business.
Yes.
And I'm assuming worked in this business as young kids and teenagers and all that.
Oh, Daddy said that his father would make them stand on a wooden box by the meat at the meat counter at the meat block and cut up hamburger meat.
When he was little.
When they were little. When they were not tall enough to reach up and cut it.
Of course, back then. And, you know, we're going back in the 20s and 30s now we're talking about now. Back then, that was a time, I would assume, that first off, you didn't walk into a place and grab a buggy and go around and get your food. You know, at that point in time, you were probably handing a list to your grocer or calling them or whatever, and it was all gathered up for you, and they'd take it to your house, and you probably didn't even have your door locked, and they'd walk in, sit on your counter, and pay them once a month.
Exactly. And when we delivered groceries, if they weren't home, we knew to go in and open the refrigerator door and put the cold stuff, the meat and the milk and ice cream and whatever.
And people trusted you and never thought a thing about it.
Yeah.
And then would usually come in once a month to settle up.
Exactly.
The times have changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
It's amazing how times have changed.
Yes.
At the end of the year,
We had a couple of people that they paid us at the end of the year when they sold the tobacco.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, so your dad, let's get a little history now. Yeah, your dad was born, let's see, what year was he born?
1911.
And then when was Pops born?
1912.
Okay, before we go on into the business, we'll talk a little bit about family. Let's go with Pops and then come back to you guys since you're here. Pops, of course, went on to get married, and he had two daughters. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that was Sue Earle and Barbara.
Right.
Is Sue Earle still around?
No, she died.
She died. But Barbara is in Birmingham and has been for quite a while. But Pops, I guess, he and your dad pretty much ran it until it started. It ended. Pops took care more of the meat. Is that correct?
Pretty much.
Yeah, the meat department. And while we're talking about the meat department, tell me about Jack. I remember him so well, and I thought that was the coolest thing. Well, you'd walk. Jack was a pretty good sized fella, I remember.
Yeah.
And you walk into this place, folks, and all of a sudden you hear this guy with the most beautiful voice singing in the back, and like, what in the world? And it wasn't a radio, it wasn't speakers, it was a meat cutter. How did he come about? Was he from here?
Daddy needed a meat cutter because Pops retired from the store about 1973 or 74, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Daddy needed some help. And so they told him at Kentucky Foods, because we were a Kentucky food store, there was a guy that worked for somebody whose store was closing, and I'm not sure where, and that he needed a job.
Yeah.
So Daddy got in touch with Jack, and Jack came to work for us. He lived in Lawrenceburg.
And drove over here?
Yes, from Lawrenceburg every day.
Wow. He was there for quite a while, too, best I
remember. He was there for several years. not sure exactly how many, but for several years.
Yeah, I always was amazed to walk in, and it was a treat to be able to walk in and hear him back there.
Well, one time the frozen food case went out, and it was a hot summer day,
yeah.
And it was my day off. But I had to come unload the frozen food case to take stuff to Kentucky Foods so it wouldn't spoil, because
yeah.
this was going to be
yeah.
a big deal to get it fixed. It's going to take several days. I was not happy. And Jack was at the meat counter singing Jesus Saves. I was not a happy camper. And the more he sung, the madder I got.
The madder you got. Well, and we mentioned Pasa's family. Let's talk about your mom and dad. Now, how did your parents get together? Your mother, Miss Irene, was there for quite a long time. I remember her so very well. Do you know how they met? How did they come about?
I think Mama came over here to play for a revival at the Baptist church.
So she wasn't from here?
No, she was from Lexington.
Okay.
And she came over here to play the piano or the organ or something for a revival.
Yeah.
And that's how they met.
Yeah. And they were members there for a
yeah.
long time.
Yeah.
Well, I guess from the time they married to the time they died. Because your dad, of course, he served, I think, deacon and trustee and everything in,
yeah,
in the
Sunday
church.
Yeah, school superintendent.
That you could be. Over at, across the street
right.
at Nicholasville Baptist Church. So your dad meets your mom, and does she start working at the store?
Oh, no. She never worked at the store.
What did she do?
She stayed home and took care of us.
So she had the hard job.
Right.
and I mean that respectfully. The mother, housewife and the mom had a harder job than anybody and took care of you guys. When did you two come along?
48 and 52.
All right. So you were raised in this business. It's all you knew. Now, stop about them a minute and continue about you guys. Well, tell us what you went on and did. You didn't stay in the grocery store business forever.
No.
You did other things.
I knew Daddy was not in good health, mm-hmm. and I knew he was going to sell the store, and I knew I had to do something to make a living. So I took a test at the post office, and I passed.
But you were there in adult. Did you work there in adulthood, Mary Dalton? Some grocery delivery, but not as full-time. Okay. So we've got you at the post office, and then we have her doing what? You're going to have to holler or get up there or something. Tell us. We're going to make her a star right here.
I went, after Heath and JR were older, I went to nursing schools, and Heath was a senior in high school. And I just started working at the hospital.
Okay. And you have two sons. You just mentioned them, and they are JR and Heath.
Correct.
All right, good. All right, we want to make sure. How many grandkids you got?
We have seven.
Now, another thing that I mentioned, and you afforded me here with the article in the Jessamine Journal of when the store was sold, and it's a great article because it talks about, too, some of the people that work down there. And to be quite honest with you, I had these two ladies that I'm going to mention, I had forgotten about working there until I saw their names, and then it just dawned on me. And the first one, of course, was Barbara Warner, who was the bookkeeper. It's Billy June's wife, right? And she was there for a long time.
Yes, yeah, she was there until the store closed.
Yeah.
Barbara was there, I think, as far back when I was in high school.
Yeah.
She was there a long time.
Long time. And the other, Loretta Burton, I forgot about her working down there.
Yeah,
of course, she was a Cobb and part of the Hager bunch we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she came, I guess, in the 70s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Had not been there as long as Barbara.
Was she a cashier?
She just waited on people and stocked shelves and all of that.
That kind of stuff. Yeah. So basically, it was those four and your meat cutter, whoever that happened to be at the time.
Right.
Those were the steadies, I guess. Your dad, your aunt, your uncle, your dad, your uncle, and those two ladies.
Right.
Was there anybody else that were missing?
How far back you want me to go?
Well, you can go as far as you want. Yeah, you brought some information. Tell me.
There was Geneva Harvey, and she worked there.
Yeah?
Geneva's husband took care of the stallions at Elmhurst.
Okay.
And they lived on Elmhurst until he got to the place. I think he had a bad heart. And he had to give it up, and they came to town.
Yeah.
And then there was Polly Turpin. She was Downing. She was married to a Mr. Downing out on Ash Grove. And when he died, they sold that farm, and it became one of those trailer parks out there.
Okay.
And then we have Rudolph Raley, the black guy that drove the truck forever and ever and ever of the Raley family.
Sam Raley is who is that his brother?
Sam was Rudolph's brother.
Yes. Okay. And I don't remember him. I remember Sam.
Well, when Brian Hunt came to Nicholasville,
mm-hmm.
Rudolph went up there and got him the job because it paid more than Heathman's.
Okay. All right. So that was your crew.
That was our crew.
Yeah. You both were in there and you grew up in it. What's probably some of the most pleasant memories you have of that store?
Oh, I guess everybody just knew us.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like family.
Yeah.
We knew what everybody wanted. We knew what to expect from them. One lady came in once and she said, I won't tell you who it is. And she said, William Edgar, I want a canned ham that doesn't have too much fat.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And there's a great way to figure that out, isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, there really is.
They didn't have x-ray machines in the grocery store, but right. Yeah, how would... okay.
You know, and they would go to the meat counter and say, I want a roast for Sunday dinner. Well, what kind? Well, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody just knew that we knew what
yeah,
they expected.
What they needed.
Yeah, what they needed. Yes, exactly.
Was everything in that... Was this one of those type grocery stores, help me out, that's, I guess at one time, pretty much sold everything? Because yeah. back in the day, way back in the day, especially at... And I don't know if it was as much in city grocery stores as it was in the little county stores. But you had to have everything, not just food. It was almost like, to a point, a mini Walmart in that you not only had food, you had all your cleaning products. You maybe even had some clothing. You maybe, I don't know. Did y'all have?
We didn't have any clothes, but yeah, we had everything. And when it came time to kill hogs, you know, we had the coarse salt and the red pepper and the sage and everything that was involved.
To process it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm just sitting here remembering this. It's amazing. When we do these shows, if there's a place that I'm old enough to remember, it starts bringing back memories. I remember entering that back door.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people entered the back door. Oh, yeah. Coming back through that way. And the front door, a screen door.
Mm-hmm.
I think
those
on the,
two screen
on
doors,
the front. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the floors stick out in my memory.
They were wooden
too.
Floors.
Wooden floor, almost oiled. And the, yes, and they
did.
They dipped and whenever would you, but they were the old type old floors, I guess, if you will. And the produce sitting out in the bins, Mayberry. I guess, would be a good, you know, what you would think on a Mayberry grocery store.
Well, one morning, one cold January morning, years and years ago, some young salesman came in, I think, from Procter & Gamble. And he parked in the back, and he walked around the side of the store. Of course, the jail was still there.
Right, on the other corner.
On the other corner. And he came in, and he said, did they really have prisoners in that jail? We said, yeah. And he said, really? We said, yeah, and I said, if you stick around till Wednesday, you can watch them take them over to the courthouse.
Yes.
To see if they're going to hold them to the grand jury.
Yeah.
He was just dumbfounded, and he said, this is kind of like Andy Mayberry, isn't it? And I said, some days it is.
And for those people that are listening to us who are not from here, we have several of those, so we have to do this every once in a while. Let me explain to you where we're talking about. Heathman's Grocery is where the current Town Square Bank is. Across the street, you've got the Nicholasville Baptist Church. On the other corner, we'll just go around a circle, was a building which is now an attorney's office. It used to be the Walker Hotel. And then on the next corner across the street, there is a building there. The county owns it, and they use it to rent out for wedding receptions or whatever. That was our jail, folks. That was it. And in the back, you can still see some of the bars up and all that. Didn't hold a lot of people. And, of course, back then, the jail's inmates, they could look out those little barred windows. And I guess their view was probably one of the most iconic signs that we've ever had in our community. And, in fact, on our Facebook page, we can show a picture of that. And people who are from here automatically know where it was. How did the Coca-Cola sign come about on the side of that building? It was there forever.
Coca-Cola wanted some advertisement, and they said they would paint this sign on the side of the store free with their Coca-Cola logo.
Yeah.
And they would put fresh meats, fresh vegetables, liver
on it.
That's how it got done.
Yeah. And it was there as long as I remember.
Oh, yeah.
But that was the view of the prisoners.
Yeah.
That's what they saw.
That's what they looked out at.
When they looked out and saw that store. What's some of the memory, not unpleasant, but what's some of the hardest memories you have of that place? It was hard work, and you told us you didn't like to unload the freezer, but...
No.
Is there...
Oh, I don't know that I have any. I can't tell you that one on radio. I'll tell you that one after we close up, after we stop. I don't have any really bad memories.
Yeah.
Maybe when it really snowed a lot, and when it snows a lot, the grocery business really picks up.
Yeah.
Because everybody's afraid they're going to get snowed and no food. And then we had to deliver all those groceries in the snow. That was not
pleasant. And for some reason, back then, it seemed like your winters were a whole lot worse than they are now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you didn't have four-wheel drives.
No. So we had to put chains on.
Yeah.
And get around a lot of times.
I miss those days in a lot of ways. I know things are convenient. In fact, I saw not long ago a store that they've opened somewhere out in the West Coast where you don't even check out anymore. It's all through an app on your phone, and when you go into the store and pick up an item and put it in your basket, it automatically rings it up by some kind of computerized system, and when you get done, you just walk out of the store, and it deducts it from your account automatically. It just, you know,
from your bank account.
Yeah, it's getting pretty amazing now. But the days of the cashiers, because we're going back to a day when folks, some of you young people out there won't remember this, when there was actually price tags on every item. Or the cashier knew them all. You know, I mean, they may be good enough to know all the prices and would ring them up one at a time.
Oh, you'd be rest assured my grandmother knew the price of everything in that grocery store. You don't believe anything.
Yeah.
She knew.
And you'd bring your items up, and of course, the old-type cash register, you'd ring it in one at a time. It took a little bit. It took a little while to do that. But those days, yeah, and I don't remember, I don't think you all had any kind of conveyor belts. Just a counter.
And though that marble on the counters came from the Phoenix Bar Room when Prohibition came.
Really?
Really. My grandfather went up there and got it.
Wow.
Yes.
Didn't know that. And this picture is cool, too, that you showed me in the early days. Mary Dalton pointed this out, of the meat hanging.
Yeah.
And I do remember that. I remember walking in and seeing at certain times back there, the side of beef that is hanging that they're getting ready to cut
and
process and make into things. It would be so cool. I hate it that my kids don't have a chance to see this and the way it was. And I wasn't very old. I mean, I was 20 when it closed. I remember it, but... I hate that there's people in our community that hear this and they have no idea, because that was just a cool way to do it. And it was so interesting. And as you said, people knew you. It wasn't impersonal. You know, when somebody walked in the store, the first conversation may not be, what do you want? It may be, well, how's your wife doing? Or how's your mom feeling? It was just people knew each other. It was hometown.
Calumet baking powder clock on the wall. They got the Calumet Baking Powder Company gave them that clock.
Yeah.
Because they bought a whole 100-pound barrel of baking powder.
100 pounds of baking powder. Not flour, baking powder.
Baking powder.
But and it don't take a lot of baking powder to make a cake, folks, so that's a lot of baking powder.
But Doug, you realize in 1919 there was no sliced bread. There was not currants.
You made
there was
your
not
rain.
Own.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
No currants. There was no currants, butter, nut, anything. You made your own.
What else do you remember? I think it brings up an interesting fact. What else do you remember in barrels? We've often heard stories and TV shows. Did they have a pickle barrel?
Not when I was alive.
Or crackers or anything like that. Did they sell stuff out of barrels?
I kind of think I remember Pops and Daddy talking about crackers.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a cracker barrel after I was born to my mom. Oh, yeah. The ginger snaps.
Yeah.
Came in a box, like, you know, 12 by 12 and maybe 6 or 8 inches deep. Fake you would blood. Have to weigh up ginger snaps.
Really?
The Christmas candy. You remember the Christmas candy, don't you?
Yes. And, yeah, of course, the candy is a whole different subject. It was just penny candy, as everybody knew it. And you go in and get what you... It's just not like it is, folks. Folks, it's just not like it is today.
And you know what? Everybody just came in and kind of helped themselves until they got what they wanted.
Yeah.
And at the end of Christmas, they would say, Edgar, did you have a good Christmas business? And he said, yes. I just put a grazing fee on the end of everybody's bill at Christmas. Because they just came in and ate an orange slice or a gumdrop or...
a grazing fee.
And
that's
I bet
fun.
You... I know you don't remember this. Fruitcakes. When everybody made fruitcakes.
Yeah.
We had, like, bulk candied cherries and, you know, the green ones and the red ones. And
to make them.
And we would have to weigh those up, those sticky things, and you put them in those little cardboard things at the meat.
Yeah. I want to ask you a question, specifically about your mom and dad, because it's your mom and dad. I mean, if Barb was here, I'd ask her this about Pa, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask about Edgar and Irene. As a businessman, think of him as a businessman. Give me a word to describe Edgar Heathman. Come up closer and say that. Mary Dalton came out like that.
And it was on the tip of my tongue. Yeah. Integrity. Integrity.
People trusted him. He meant. And you knew it. You didn't have to wonder. He knew the man was telling you like it was. He was telling you the truth. He'd hold to his word.
And I'll tell you this about my grandmother. My mother said when she died, she was standing there by the casket. And a black woman came up and she put her hand on Granny's chest. And she said, oh, honey. Had it not been for you, there were times my children and I would have starved to death.
See, that's the personal part of that we miss nowadays.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to slam any business now because, you know, we have businesses in our community that if you went to them, and there are groups that go to them and say, can you help us out? And they help a group at a time. You know, their grocery stores, they may give a donation or something. But back then, that was truly, and it wasn't just grocery stores. I mean, we could talk about drug stores here in town. We could talk about a lot of different businesses that they truly went the extra mile to help people survive. And there was so many, you talked about the farmers paying at the end of the year. There were so many people like that. And this lady and people who really had hard times. And at that point in time, those people like your dad and others, you stopped worrying about your business and started worrying about caring.
Exactly.
And you did. And people remember that. They remember that and they're beholden to you for doing it. And it had to be hard on the family. It had to be hard on the business, but that's what you did. You took care of your fellow man.
Well, I remember one cold, snowy January morning. It was on Sunday. Herbert Clark called Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a deacon at the Black Baptist Church.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I've got to have some salt for these sidewalks. And Daddy said, all right, when I go to church, I'll set it outside the back door and you come over here and get it.
Yeah.
And he did, and he did.
Yeah. Yeah, just take care of him. What about your mom? Give me a word. Well, let me ask you this before I do that. I ask you to describe your dad in a business sense in one word. How would you describe him as a dad?
Oh, he loved us. Loved us so much.
That's a pretty easy one. Didn't say much. The best I remember, he didn't. And I remember he and my granddad were big buddies years ago, and we're at Nixville Baptist Church together. In fact, you told me that my granddad used to go pick up turkeys for him, I guess,
at
for
Christmas
Thanksgiving.
And Thanksgiving.
Yeah, to sell live turkeys.
But
I didn't know that. You've taught me something there about somebody in my family that I didn't even know.
But one time Dalton asked me how you learned to talk so much.
Me?
You.
How did I learn to talk?
Yes,
so much?
And I said, Dalton, Daddy and Cecil Rohr would have stood on the corner by the Baptist church and talked until midnight.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And they did.
They would.
I mean, they didn't stay
until
midnight, but they talked a long time.
Of course, Dixie, she said her share of talking, too. Now, let's talk about your mom. How would you describe your mom in a word?
How do we describe mom?
She strict.
Was strict, but she loved us.
Yeah, she was big involved in that church for a long time, wasn't she?
But somebody new came to town, and they joined the church.
Mm-hmm.
She and Frances Collins, I guess, would be the first ones over there with a pie
right. Or
a bucket of chicken or, you know.
Yeah. Welcome to town.
Welcome to town. Welcome to the church.
That's the way you do it.
What do you need?
Well, believe it or not, our time is done. I appreciate you coming in. This is one of those shows that I've been wanting to do as we try to get downtown covered. And folks, this you just aren't going to find things like this anymore. Oh, you might go somewhere in the country and get lucky and find a place like this, but I doubt it. I meant to ask you too, your dad, before I end, I assume him and Pops both graduated Nicholsville High. Did your dad go on to do any education after that?
He graduated from UK.
Okay.
And he played the saxophone in the Marching 100 at UK. He was in the band.
Really?
Yes. And I still have the saxophone.
The saxophone?
Yes.
What did he major in at UK?
Agriculture.
Now, did Pops go to college?
No.
So your dad, agriculture, and then came back and ran the grocery store. And he was also, it says here, a member of the Lions Club. He was also, of course, a lifelong member of Nicholsville Baptist. And even served as director of Kentucky Foods. He was really involved with that. He was in World War II. Was Pops a veteran?
No.
That's kind of the background. But I appreciate you coming in. This is one of those places when you think about and a lot of people that grew up here, when you think about downtown Nicholasville, there's just certain businesses that come to mind. And I bet you, if I could get together 20 people who have lived here all their life and said, write down a list of 10 businesses, I bet you those 20 people would have 7 or 8 of the same. I mean, it was just certain ones, you know, Heathman's and Hempel's and Ward's, you know, the dime store, certain ones that everybody would, Yearwood's, that would put down on that list because they were just so well-known. People knew them. They were treated right when they went there. And it's a shame that we don't have that back. But they call it progress. Good times, good memories. Thank you all. Appreciate you being here. Well, my thanks to Mary Dalton and Billy Sue for coming in and helping us remember Heathman's Grocery. We appreciate you coming in every Saturday morning also for all things Jessamine. Invite you back again next Saturday. Plus, tune me in on my regular show every weekday morning from 6 until 8 a.m. right here on Jess FM 105.9.